Cosgrove Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nyberg. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Matawar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nyberg.
My text for this morning is found in Proverbs chapter 21. I want to read the 21st verse. We read, "He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor." Now here we have a promise from God's Word. That person who follows, and that word is generally translated pursues. That person who pursues, this is what he's after. This is his goal. This is his desire. This is his objective. He pursues righteousness and he pursues mercy. He's promised, in pursuing righteousness and mercy, you'll find life, righteousness, and honor. Now, this is something I'm certainly interested in finding. I want to find righteousness. I want to find life. I want to find honor. Now, everybody is pursuing something. There's never been a man to live that didn't pursue something. It may have been that he just wanted to have no conflict in his life, and that's what he was pursuing. Or he was pursuing power or riches or pleasure or getting on in this world. Or there's just a myriad of things that men and women can pursue. And everybody pursues something. But we read of this one who pursues righteousness and mercy. Now, there are not a lot of people who are pursuing righteousness and mercy. Everybody's pursuing something. Very few are pursuing righteousness and mercy. But we're given this promise that one who does pursue righteousness and mercy will find life, righteousness, and honor. Before we can understand what this means, we need to understand what the Bible means by these terms. What does the Bible mean by righteousness? What does the Bible mean by mercy? You see, the world's dictionary will give us a different definition than what the Bible does as to regard to what righteousness and what mercy actually is. As a matter of fact, we're warned in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 15, that the ministers of Satan, that the servants of Satan come as angels of light and ministers of righteousness. The false prophet comes as a spokesman of righteousness. So obviously the righteousness that he is speaking of is not the same righteousness that's in our text. He that pursueth righteousness and mercy will find life, righteousness, and honor. What does the Bible mean by righteousness? Now, righteousness before God is perfection before His holy law. You cannot be partially righteous. You must be wholly righteous. To be righteous, you must be without sin. To be righteous, you must be as good as the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what righteousness is. Now, some people may admit, well, I can see that's where what righteousness is. You can't be partly righteous any more than you can be partly dead or partly alive. You're either alive or you're dead. You're either righteous or you're unrighteous. There's no middle ground. Many people may agree with that, but very few would agree as to who the Bible refers to as righteous. Now, that person who pursues righteousness, listen to this scripture. Romans chapter 3, verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? Paul speaking of Jews and Gentiles. No, in no wise, for we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they're all under sin. That means sin's over them. That means sin has complete dominion over them. As it's written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understands. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. So when the Bible is speaking of righteousness, it is not describing any man who inherently has any sort of righteousness at all. As a matter of fact, there's none that doeth good. No, not one. There's not even one that seeks after God. Isaiah said this regarding human righteousness. He said, our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. So when we're talking about righteousness, or when the Bible is talking about righteousness, it's not talking about a righteousness that a mere human being can come up with, because we're born into this world in sin. We're born sinners and are completely unable to make ourselves righteous. Now, the first time the word righteousness is used in the Scripture, and I think it's very important to understand what's called the law of first mention. If you want to know what the Bible means by word, look where it's first mentioned in the Scriptures. And that is what the Bible means by the word. Now, the first time the word righteousness is mentioned in the Scripture is in Genesis chapter 15, where God said to Abraham, look at the stars and see if you can count them. So shall your seed be, so shall your descendants be. We read in verse 5, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Now, he said this to Abraham when Abraham had no children, and his wife had a barren womb. And this was humanly impossible for him to have children. But look what it says after God said this to Abraham. And he believed in the Lord. He believed what God said. And it was counted. And he counted it to him for righteousness. When Abraham believed what God said, God counted that to him for righteousness. Now this is what Paul quotes in Romans chapter 4. He says in verse 1, what shall we say then that our father Abraham is pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. So the first time the word righteousness is used in the Scripture has a reference to the great truth of righteousness imputed. Righteousness imputed. Now, no man has any inherent righteousness. No man is able to perform works of righteousness. No man by nature can do anything but sin. You see, there is only one righteousness, and that's the righteousness of God. That's the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I'm righteous before God, it will be because His righteousness has been imputed, reckoned, charged to me. The great doctrine of righteousness imputed. Now, I'm careful to not use the phrase imputed righteousness. And I'm not saying someone's a heretic if they use the phrase imputed righteousness. It depends what they mean by it. But when I don't use the term imputed righteousness, it's because imputed is never used as an adjective. It's never used as a description. In the Bible, imputed is always used as a verb. Righteousness imputed. Not imputed righteousness in the sense there's this kind of righteousness and there's another kind of righteousness. No, there's only one righteousness. That's the righteousness of God. David said in Psalm 71:16, I've made mention of thy righteousness, even thine only. The reason he only made mention of God's righteousness is because it's the only righteousness there is. And that righteousness, the righteousness of God, is imputed to the believer. God imputes it to the believer. Now, somebody says, how can that be? Well, I love this scripture. I suppose I quote this almost every time I preach. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Christ was made to be sin. What all that means, we'll never know. I know he never committed sin. And when he was on the cross, he never committed sin. He did no sin. He maintained his purity. And yet he was made sin. How can both of those things be? I don't know. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. But I know this. In his death, he put away that sin. He satisfied God's justice, and his righteousness is given to every believer. His righteousness is imputed to every believer. Now, once again, imputation is not an adjective. It's a verb. There's only one righteousness. You see, my righteousness is not based upon the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. My righteousness is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, just as truly as my sin became his sin. That's why he died. His righteousness becomes my righteousness. In Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed. Now, when that person is pursuing righteousness, he's pursuing God's righteousness. Remember how the Lord said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? That's what I'm pursuing. I am pursuing his righteousness. In Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 1, we read, Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Obviously, they weren't saved. And Paul desired for them to be saved. He said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record. They have a zeal of God. They're very religious. They're very sincere. They're very zealous. Very, very religious. Dedicated to religion. They have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. And here is what they did not know. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, his righteous character, his absolute righteousness, they're ignorant of his righteousness in their damnation. They think God owes them salvation because of what they've done. They're ignorant of God's righteousness in salvation. They don't understand how they're saved by the righteousness of somebody else. They, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, trying to work out a righteousness in some way that they think will render God obligated to save them. Lord, I did my part, now you have to do your part. I did this, you do that. Seeking to establish a righteousness before God, they've not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. You see, there's only one righteousness, and that's God's righteousness. The Lord said in Psalm 40 that he preached righteousness in the great congregation, the righteousness of God. Noah was a preacher of righteousness, God's righteousness. Now, these people failed to submit to the righteousness of God, for Christ is the end, the goal, the termination of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Christ is my righteousness before God. Now, what is it to pursue righteousness? Paul put it this way in Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. Oh, that I may win Christ and be found in Him. When God comes looking for me, I simply want to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. No, I don't want to be found witnessing or reading the Bible or praying. I want to be found in Christ so that all God sees is Jesus Christ when He sees me. Oh, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, which would amount to nothing more than filthy rags, but the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ. That's the righteousness I want. I want to be found in His righteousness. Now, how can I know if His righteousness has been imputed to me? Well, in Romans chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." Now, if you believe on him that justifies the ungodly by what Christ did, righteousness has been imputed to you. Now, here's what else we pursue when we pursue righteousness. Remember, there's only one righteousness. That's God's righteousness, and that's the righteousness we want to be found in. We also pursue mercy. Where you have someone pursuing righteousness, you also have someone pursuing mercy. Now, what is mercy? Mercy is God not giving you what you deserve. Is that what you want? That's what I want. I want God to not give me what I deserve. Because what I deserve in and of myself is separation from God. Removal from His presence. I deserve to be sent to hell. I don't want that. I don't want God to give me what I deserve. Now, God can give mercy because all the requirements of righteousness have been satisfied. Therefore, He can have mercy on sinners. Now, this is what I want. I pursue mercy. Now, let me tell you when you will pursue mercy. This is when you'll pursue mercy. When your sin is all your fault. You're not a victim. Your sin is all your fault. There's no sense of entitlement. Your sin is all your fault. You have no claims on God. Now, if your sin is not all your fault, you'll never ask for mercy. If you can blame something or someone else, you'll never ask for mercy. But when you stand before God guilty, guilty as charged, and your sin is all your fault, you can't blame anyone but yourself, when you stand before God like that, you will pursue mercy. When you have absolutely no merit, not even a penny's worth, you will pursue mercy. You'll be like Bartimaeus, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Don't give me what I deserve." Now, that person who pursues righteousness and that person who pursues mercy, wherever there's a pursual of righteousness, there is a pursual of rightness. Let me repeat that. Wherever there is a pursual of righteousness, God's righteousness, there is a pursual of rightness. You want to do the right thing. It's the right thing to believe. It's the right thing to repent. It's the right thing to obey the gospel. It's the right thing to take the lowest seat in the house. It's the right thing to be honest. It's the right thing to give Him all the glory. It's the right thing to be a servant. You really want to do the right thing. You want to love God and you want to love your neighbor as yourself. Where there is a pursual of righteousness, there is a pursual of rightness. And whenever there's a pursual of mercy, there is a pursual of being merciful. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now, if you pursue the mercy of God, you're going to pursue being a merciful person. And if you don't pursue being a merciful person, you've never really pursued the mercy of God. Now, that person who pursues righteousness, that person who pursues mercy, here is what they'll find. It says he'll find life. It says he'll find righteousness. And it says he'll find honor. Now that's the promise. He that pursues righteousness and mercy shall find life. Now what that is a reference to is spiritual life. You see, by nature, we're dead in trespasses and sins. By nature, we may be religious, but we have no apprehension of who God really is. We have no apprehension of who we really are. We have no idea how sinful we really are. We're dead in sins. We can't see the gospel. We can't hear the gospel. We may hear the words, but we don't hear with hearing ears. We can't feel the joy and peace of believing. We're strangers to these things, dead in sins. But that person who pursues righteousness and mercy does so because he's already been given life. You see, without life, you will not pursue these things. You see, life, logically, must come before faith. You can't believe with your old nature. You can't repent with your old nature. You can't love with your old nature. Your old nature is dead in sins. Logically, you must be given life before you can believe. But as far as our experience goes, life and faith come at the precise same time. When you believe, you live. And when you live, you believe. You have life before God. Now, having His righteousness, having His mercy, I'm given by Him life. Life before God. Being born from above, I have life. That means I can now hear the gospel with hearing ears. I can now see how God can be just and justify the ungodly. I have tasted of His grace. And I have felt the joy and the peace of believing. I have smelled the sweet savor of His sacrifice. I perform the functions of life. Before I couldn't, but now I do. Having righteousness, having mercy, I have life. Life before God. The Lord said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He said, because I live, you shall live also. Every believer has life before God. But not only do we find life in the pursuit of righteousness and mercy, we find righteousness. In pursuing His righteousness, we possess His righteousness. It is ours. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17 says, their righteousness is of me. Their personal righteousness is of me. Every believer actually possesses the very righteousness of God. The only righteousness there is, the perfect obedience of Christ. That person who seeks righteousness finds righteousness. If you seek to be found in Christ and His righteousness, you've been found in Christ and His righteousness. You have the righteousness of God, the only righteousness there is. I love that scripture in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, which says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by the which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of His gifts. It's talking about the sacrifice. The sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ made it to where Abel was actually righteous. It said of Lot, who, if you only read the Old Testament account, you wouldn't say this about him. But the New Testament account says, speaks of Lot as righteous Lot and his righteous soul. Every believer is actually righteous before God. If God sees me as righteous, there's only one reason God sees me that way, because that's how I am, righteous before God. If you seek righteousness, if you seek mercy, you will possess righteousness and mercy. Now, not only do we find life, not only do we find righteousness, but the Scripture says we find honor. Honor. He that seeketh, he that pursueth, he that followeth righteousness and mercy finds life and righteousness and honor. Now, what is honor? This word honor is the same word that is quite usually translated glory. It's the same word that Moses used when he said, I beseech you, show me your glory. Every believer possesses glory. Christ said, the glory that you've given me, I have given to them. Now, what is God's glory? Well, when Moses said, I beseech you, show me your glory, what did the Lord proceed to show him? But his capacity to save sinners. Now, remember, when Moses made this request, this bunch had said, let's make a golden calf and worship it. And Moses is praying for them. And during this prayer, he says, I beseech you, show me your glory. And God answers, I'll make all my goodness pass before you. I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before you. His name is who He is, His attributes. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. His glory is His capacity to save. His glory is His capacity to forgive sinners for Christ's sake. And let me tell you this. If God does a work of grace in your heart, you now become able to forgive. And the most divine thing that a human being by the grace of God can do is to forgive and to be merciful and to seek the salvation of others. This is true honor. And remember this, before honor comes humility. Now, what a promise. If we follow righteousness and if we pursue mercy, we will find life, righteousness, and honor. And we have this message on CD and DVD. If you call the church or write, we'll send you a copy. This is Todd Niver. Praying that God will be pleased to make Himself known to you. That's our prayer.
To request a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to messages@toddsroadgracechurch.com. Or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.